And indeed, our text for this morning is Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Amen. And may God bless to us that beautiful portion of his word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our text for this morning, this psalm, is one of the psalms which is entitled A Song of Degrees or A Song of Ascents. Do you remember, people of God, that these songs of ascents were the ones that were sung by the people of God as they ascended up into Jerusalem thrice annually for the feasts? And it was a difficult journey that they had undertaken. There were many dangers. There were dangers of beasts. There were deserts. There was thirst. There was hunger. It was not an easy journey which they undertook. Many of these 15 songs of ascents, for that is how many there are, were written prior to the Babylonian captivity of Judah. For example, the previous psalm, which we sang, Psalm 127, is entitled A Song of Degrees of Solomon. This was obviously written before the captivity. Solomon lived some 450 years before the people of Judah were taken into captivity. There are, however, several indications that our psalm is a post-exilic psalm, and that it was written either as they were coming back from exile or after they had returned to Judah. Our psalm, you see, hints of a time when things were extremely, extremely difficult for these returning exiles. Fear of being taken back into captivity in Babylon, they were. There were enemies from without harassing them, remember. And there were enemies from within hindering them, trying to prevent them from rebuilding the wall and the temple. Well, don't worry. If you fear Jehovah, if you are obedient to him, then you're happy. You are blessed. Dangers, fears, troubles, yes, but you are happy. Our text says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. What is it to fear Jehovah and to walk in his ways? The fear of Jehovah means to reverence him, to be in awe of him. This is not the reverence or awe of fear and trembling and terror, but rather it is the reverence and awe of attraction and trust and love. And if this is truly the case, you see, then we will walk in Jehovah's ways. Ways of righteousness, obediently, in service and love and gratitude and devotion. If we fear Jehovah, then the automatic consequence is obedience. Not perfectly, of course, for we sinners yet. But desiringly, at least often desiringly, and sometimes we don't even desire it, do we? Desiringly often, we seek to serve the Lord, however imperfectly. And says our text, every obedient Jehovah-fearer is happy. He's blessed. The scriptures in many places, even in our own psalm, show many ways in which the God-fearer is blessed. One way God-fearers are blessed that we won't consider in the body of our sermon is that we are blessed in life. We will not generally go hungry, says our text. In general, in all of life, we're happy. In general, all is well with us. With these things in view, then, let us consider our text this morning under the theme, Covenantal Blessings of the God-fearer. Firstly, what the blessings are. Secondly, where the blessings are received. And thirdly, the only possibility of receiving the blessings. Covenantal blessings of the God-fearer. What the blessings are, where the blessings are received, the only possibility of receiving the blessings. In the first place then, what the blessings are. We must understand in the first place, beloved, that the blessings of our text are covenantal blessings. They belong to those and to those only with whom God is in covenant. We can see this in the three times throughout this psalm. The name of God, Jehovah, is used in verses 1 and 4 and 5. And if you have the King James Version there, you will notice that the word Lord in those verses is all in capital letters, which means that in the original, it is Yehovah, Jehovah. We'll look at this beautiful name of our God more fully in our last point. But essentially, the name Jehovah teaches us that God is infinite. Infinite in all that he is, in all his perfections. But more than this, Jehovah is God's special covenant name. And the fact that it's his special covenant name is linked to the infinity of his being and perfections. Well, the covenant nature of the blessings of our text is stressed when it says in verse 3, Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Your wife, she'll be fruitful. She shall bear children. In fact, your children will be like olive plants around your table. In another part of God's word, we read this glorious promise that God gave to Abraham and to all of Abraham's spiritual seed. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This is the locus classicus, the main primary text showing Jehovah's establishment of his covenant with his people. I will be your God. I will not fail you. You will be my people. Not only, but I will establish my covenant in the line of generations. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, expect to see, for this is what God said to Abraham, expect to see me establish my covenant among your children and among their children. Expect to see many Jacobs. Expect many children in the line of generations, so that you will be the father of many nations, Abraham, God says in Genesis chapter 17, verse 4. And thy seed shall be multiplied exceedingly, Genesis 17, verse 2. And your children shall be as the stars in the sky for number, Genesis 15, verse 5. And they shall be as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. And that's exactly what our text is teaching, isn't it? Of the God-fearer. One more thing concerning these blessings being covenantal blessings. Our text says in verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. These blessings come only by way of the means of grace in the church, in Zion, in Jerusalem. We shall be blessed with covenantal blessings out of Zion, says our text, out of the church. It is here, in Zion, that the means of grace are most clearly set forth. It is here in Zion that the preaching of the word takes place. It is here in Zion that Christ speaks and that he gathers his church, all of his elect, infants, young people, adults, and elderly, whoever they may be. It is here in Zion that he feeds his sheep. It is through these means, and indeed includes the means themselves, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Given to Christ in eternity are we. Gathered in time into his church we are. We are regenerated, befriended, loved, married to Christ at this time of gathering. All of these things are covenantal blessings, you see. Because God is our God, and we are his people. But what specifically are the covenantal blessings of our text? Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. I want to tell you first what this does not mean. It does not mean that those God-fearers to whom God does not grant children are lacking in God's blessing. It may indeed be a very great sadness to those saints who are unable to have children. But it is not an indication that they are not being blessed by God. It is not an indication that they are somehow being chastised by God, or that their lives are not as full as those who do have children. Ah, no. God-fearers who are not blessed with children are blessed by God in many other ways. They may be closer to each other as husband and wife. They are privileged and blessed in being able to work harder for God and his cause and his kingdom. They are often blessed with special relationships and bonds of friendship with other of their fellow saints. They may not have children of their own body, but they have many, many children of their own faith. The normal general way in which God blesses the God-fearer, however, is that thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around about thy table. What a beautiful picture that is, beloved. What a beautiful picture of a God-fearing husband's God-fearing wife. Can you see it? Here is a lush green vine. It is on the inside part of the house. That's what the word in the original Hebrew indicates. And it covers a whole wall of the house. And in that dry, hot land, its large green leaves are refreshing and beautiful to look upon. Its winding tendrils and branches, they cover the whole wall. The vine is the centre place of the house. It draws one's attention to its verdancy as soon as they walk through the door. And it relaxes them. It calms them down. It enchants. Not only, but this vine is fruitful. It is laden with fruit. It has many grapes that refresh the taste, not only, but the sight. But although the picture, if you can picture it in your mind's eye, is beautiful, the reality is far, far more wondrous. A God-fearing husband is blessed with a wife who is beautiful. Extremely beautiful. Both within and without. She is a vine, you see, who needs to be tenderly nourished and cherished. And we husbands need to be like this with our wives. Vines are not strong plants, but when our wife is cared for in a godly way, then she will bear all the fruits of holiness. She will do works of righteousness. She will produce genuine works of faith. She'll have an extremely beautiful soul. And this is what makes her also beautiful on the outside. It's remarkable, beloved. It's not limited to one sex either. But those God-fearers, have you noticed, who are rich in holiness, reflect this in their outward appearance. They radiate a glow almost that reflects the inner peace and holiness that is theirs. Especially though, the blessing of a God-fearing husband is that his wife will be fruitful with children. That's the covenantal context of our text. God will bless us with children. Many children. Beautiful indeed is true motherhood. And this too is the meaning of the next part of our text. My children, like olive plants around about thy table. A wonderful covenant blessing given to God-fearers is that our children shall be like olive plants. Olive plants were very much prized and valued by people in the Middle East. The picture is again one of beauty. Many olive plants there are. It's not like an orchard of olive trees. And these trees, they produce a wonderful shade. They're beautiful to look upon. Their leaves are lush and calming to behold. And one of the characteristics of the olive tree is that around its base, many little shoots pop up from it. Numerous are the offspring of the richly blessed and happy God-fearer, in other words. His children are many. Not only, but our children add to our happiness, our blessedness. They impart to us the oil of gladness so that we rest in the love and the mercy of God. This is part of the meaning of the picture of an olive tree. We can see this from Psalm 52 verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever. Covenant children, then, to us who are God-fearers, are a joy. They are a delight. They bring us to contemplate the mercy of our God. But do not miss the importance of where our covenant children are, beloved. They are like olive plants round about our table. Now, godly covenant children are always a blessing to parents. Notice that. Godly covenant children are always a blessing to their parents. Even when they're disobedient and wayward. Because then we cause to rest more in our God. But meal times are a special time of blessing. For it is here at meal times around the family table that we cease from the hustle and bustle of life. It is here at the meal table that we can enjoy fellowship and friendship of each other in the Lord, and we can have fun and fellowship and delight in each other. One of the great shames of modern day living is the tendency to be quartered away from the covenantal family table due to the busyness of life. But the world does not see things the same way as the God-fearer does. Our text tells us that we are blessed in that our wives are fruitful and we as godly parents have many children. And the world mocks us. Haven't you heard of contraception? You can't possibly have any fun and do the things you want with so many children. Your children are a burden around your neck. The world mocks and scoffs. I'm only going to have one child so I can give it the best of everything that I can. I'm not going to have a child until I'm in my late 30s. So that I can enjoy life and advance in my career and travel the world and get all the material things that I want. Yes, the world mocks God's blessing of us with these and similar comments. And it's true, beloved, it's not easy to raise children in this day and age. Parents, we may need to go without things that we normally enjoy. We may have fewer material things than the ungodly. We may have to give up things that we once enjoyed. We may not be able to afford a house or a new car or the latest entertainment system. We may have to adapt and make sacrifices to make ends meet. But we're blessed. Incredibly blessed beyond anything that the ungodly can even imagine. Our wives are fruitful in spiritual graces and childbearing. Our children are beautiful and numerous as olive plants around our table. Our children enjoy spending time with us in fellowship and friendship. Great blessings indeed. great blessings not only, but great blessings which are most certain. Verse 4 says, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." That word "behold" means indeed or surely, surely that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The covenantal promises of our great God are certain, you see. They shall not fail. What wonders belong to us who are God-fearers. In the second place, where the blessings are received. Our text says, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." It is only in Zion, in the church, that we are blessed with beautiful wives and covenant children. It is to Zion that all God-fearers repair. As God-fearers, we simply must join ourselves to the true visible church. We can do none other. For the Spirit of Christ works within our hearts to give us the desire to join other people of God, you see, and to profess him publicly here, right here in Zion, and to grow in Christ here in Zion under the public means of grace. We simply have to join the visible church, for the Spirit of Christ works the love of his church, which is his body, within us. And we can never abandon her, for he works this within us, nor can we avoid her. For it is here, in Zion, that we meet with Christ in most wonderful ways. And so we are blessed, you see, here in Zion, in the Church of Christ, are God-fearers, all God-fearers. We and our children are instructed more and more in the truth of the Word of God here in Zion. We come to see Christ more clearly, and we become more and more like him, and we are caused more and more to desire to serve him. And our children become more and more holy too. And they profess Christ publicly and join themselves to Zion with spirit-filled delight. And they work for Christ and his kingdom. All blessings. Incredible, wondrous, everlasting blessings. Out of Zion. This is the only place where we can receive these blessings. And so our text says, "Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." I want you to notice that, people of God. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of the life. For the God-fearer, it is a blessing to see the good of Jerusalem, to see the church grow. And she does grow, beloved, does the true church of Christ. Ah, yes. I know that there are times that we are hurt and discouraged. I mentioned just several Lord's days ago when I preached, is the Lord chastening us that so many people are leaving us? We grieve. Yet let us not despair, God-fearers, for the church does grow. She grows in numbers as our covenant children join her We do not see all of our covenant children enter Jerusalem. But as a general rule, God gathers his church through the line of generations. And so Jerusalem grows. She prospers. And she continues. And she will continue undoubtedly, assuredly, unceasingly, until Christ returns and he gathers the remnant up and takes them to the new Jerusalem. Also, though, Jerusalem prospers when our children grow in grace and knowledge of their Saviour. What a delight it is when we see this in our children, and then when we see them witnessing of their Christ to others, and the Spirit of Christ works within the hearts of those to whom they witness, and more of the elect are brought into the Church of Christ. But our children also develop doctrine and develop in doctrine, as we ourselves ought to be doing, as the Holy Spirit leads them into all truth. And the church thus advances in purity and holiness. All blessings to the God-fearer. The good of Jerusalem not only, but yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. How sweet and blessed it is, beloved, to see our children not only, but our children's children in Israel as well. Our grandchildren, a blessing to us who are God-fearers, indeed a great and special blessing. For the Lord tells us in Proverbs chapter 17 verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Did you hear that, beloved? You are a glory to your children. You parents, you are beautiful to your children as you walk before them in holiness and faith. You live your lives before them in splendor, as it were. That's the idea of the word in Proverbs. Ah, not perfectly. None of us do that. But in principle, Joshua and Wayur, as God-fearers, you are a glory to Talissa and your other children. Ah, but Talissa is my crown. As is Tasha and Toby and Tabby. This is a crown of glory. That's the idea of the word in the original. I am crowned with the glory of the delight of my grandchildren. Ah, yes. But it's more than this. Much, much more. As I sit, blessed and privileged within the church, saved by the precious blood of Jesus, sitting in communion with him, already crowned, then I am double crowned, as it were, to see my grandchildren sitting blessed and privileged within the Church of Christ, also saved by the precious blood of Jesus. And this, too, is the idea of what we read in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, which Zechariah was probably written around about the same time as our psalm, incidentally. But we read in verses 4 and 5, thus saith the Lord of hosts, There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. The city, the Jerusalem, the church shall be full with elderly people, grandparents, and full of boys and girls, many children. What a blessing! What a great blessing! What a great covenant blessing in the church. This is the wonder of covenantal children out of Zion. And peace upon Israel, upon the church. For she shall be stable with the stability of a covenantal foundation. And she will continue through the covenantal line. And she will remain faithful and firm in the covenantal truth. For Christ, with whom the covenant was made, is the King and the head of his church. And he is the Prince of Peace, who brings peace to every saint in his saving work for and in him, especially bringing peace in reconciling us to God by the covering of his perfect righteousness over us. More, though, Christ maintains peace with us as individual members of the body. And he maintains, therefore, peace with us as the body as a whole, the church. All as a direct consequence now of the covenant. That's our text. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. It is with great scriptural insight that Calvin calls covenantal families the seedbed of the church. Families are the seedbed of the church. They serve the church. It is from families that the church grows. Yet, from within the church, such families are blessed with the most wondrous blessings. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let us consider, in the third place, the only possibility of receiving the blessing. Our text in verse 1 says, Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, capital letters, that walketh in his way. And in verses 4 and 5, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all thy days. As you know, beloved, and have been reminded already in this sermon, the word, all in capitals, translated the Lord in our Bibles, is the Hebrew word for Jehovah. Jehovah is the name of God, the great I Am. In Exodus 3 verse 14, God says, I am that I am. And it is from this clause that the name Jehovah derives. And so it is that the name Jehovah reveals to us God's infinity in all that he is. He's infinite with respect to his existence. That means he's eternal. And he is self-sufficient in and of himself and all-sufficient. And he is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. He never has to change, therefore, for he has all things in and of himself. But it is even more than this, for the name Jehovah reveals to us the covenant-keeping God. I am Jehovah, thy God. You are mine, and I am yours. And you will be with me for eternity because I am unchangeable in all that I am. I am unchangeable in my promises, and I am all-powerful to ensure your salvation. And although I am self-sufficient and all-sufficient in and of myself, I have set mine infinite love upon you. And indeed, just because I am infinite and all-sufficient and self-sufficient and immutable, then I never ever change with respect to my promises toward you. I'm eternally faithful. So never ever fear or doubt or worry. You may be faithless, but I am faithful toward you, my covenant people. I am Jehovah, your God. But there's more, for Christ particularly identifies himself as Jehovah. In John chapter 8, verse 58, in what would otherwise be grammatical nonsense, we read, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that's in direct reference to Exodus 3, verse 14, you see, where God said, I am, that I am. I am Jehovah, says Jesus. I am the person of the Son of God, Jehovah, who has assumed unto himself a human nature in order to save you, my covenant people. The only possibility of receiving the blessings of our text is Christ. It is Christ's church that we read about in Psalm 120:28. Jesus gave himself for his church. And by his Spirit he gathers his covenant people into his church. So that right here we receive the blessings, the glorious, wonderful blessings. Of course, we're found in Christ. And only because we're found in Christ. Thus it is that we are God-fearers who walk in the ways of God, in the power of the Spirit of Christ. This is the meaning of those beautiful truths in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's also the meaning of our text. In Christ we are blessed with all the blessings of our text. Joshua and Wayur, in Christ, you have been blessed with another little baby, Talissa. But so have we, the church, been likewise blessed. Blessed in Christ out of Zion. Blessed with another covenant child added to the church. Blessed by seeing our children's children. And peace upon Israel. Amen. Let us stand for a word of prayer.
Thank you.